Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say a big thank you for taking time out of your busy life, especially this time of year, to join me on my podcast today. Today is Thursday, December 14th, 2023. I know. All of us are shopping. All of us are busy working. All of us are just plain busy preparing for the big Christmas event. And right here on The Cross in the Desert in our last two programs, I am doing my best to keep Jesus, the heart of Christmas, right at the center of everything. I did a program about the great incarnation, how God stepped down off of his throne and became a man in Christ Jesus. God took on human flesh to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And the last program I did on Monday was to show the reliability of the historical documents of the four Gospels, the two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, that portray the Christmas story. And when we read that, we can be certain and convinced that this is really the Word of God. So I'm trying to do that, keep that balance this Christmas in the midst of all of our present buying and all of our gatherings and being with families. I want to keep Jesus at the center. Now, today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to take a different angle on this. I want to show the power of Christ. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is us. That is all of us. And he came to deliver those from oppression, and demonic oppression is specifically going to be the topic of my broadcast today. I want to feature a story of a young Muslim girl. Her name is Shamsho, and her testimony is found on a website called I Found the Truth. It's a website for Iranians and Muslims who have come out of darkness into light. They have found their hope and freedom in Jesus, and her testimony is up on there. What I found fascinating about this testimony that I'm going to play in just a minute is that as a young Muslim girl, she was tormented by something called the jinn. Now, what in the world is that? It's the spirit world. Muslims are fascinated by the spirit world. You know, the story of the genies, the magic carpet. But this is something that is really a reality in the lives of most Muslim women. You can understand it better if I explain it to you. In the Western pop culture, the idea of the jinn has inspired tales of magical characters. But for many Muslims around the world, these supernatural creatures in the spirit world are as real to them as humans, and they are frightened of them. And why is that? They believe that as Muslims believe that the jinn, these spiritual supernatural creatures, are notorious pranksters and mischievous meddlers who take sinister delight in punishing and deceiving people. Now, Muslims will blame the jinn for leading people astray, corrupting them, and causing misfortunes, accidents, health problems, etc. And so, because of that, in many Muslim communities around the world, Muslims take preventative measures to protect themselves from the schemes of these supernatural creatures in the spirit world known as jinn. They will wear special amulets and chant special prayers, and they will invoke God's name when entering a bathroom. They think that jinn are lurking there in some of these filthy places. And others at night will sleep uncovered will refuse to sleep uncovered because they don't want to make themselves vulnerable to attack from a jinn. Now, I'm telling you all of this for a reason, because in this testimony I'm about to play for you, Shamsho is going to refer to the jinn, and you're going to say, what is it? Well, now you know. And the reason I'm featuring her testimony is to show the power of Christ in delivering this young Muslim girl from the fear of the jinn till she was able to escape from the darkness and come to the light of Christ. Let's listen to her testimony right now on the cross in the desert.
I think for me, growing up as a little girl, there was just a lot of things that didn't sit right with my soul and in my spirit. There were these initial moments in the beginning of my childhood where I was like, this can't be it. There was something being hidden from me. I knew that God existed. Like, it was never a doubt in my mind that there wasn't a God. Like, I knew I was created by someone, and I wanted to know who my creator was. But in Islam, as a woman, Allah looks down on you. You know, he says that your testimony is worth half of a man's testimony. Like, to him, like, I'm not even a full person. How could God create me and hate me so much at the same time? I had this fear as a child of hell. Like, it was something that crippled me. Does God care about my salvation and where I'm going to go? What's going to happen to me when I die? And Islam and Allah could not give me an answer. I'd probably sleep in 1 to 2 hours because darkness scared me. So jinn, from what I remember as a kid, was just like this supernatural being that is kind of like created to kind of keep you on track, but it's, you know, it's to also punish you. You know, you see and you hear of people getting possessed and, you know, and that the jinn has possessed them. And so it was this constant state of fear that you live in because you're being watched, you know, and it's like you're being watched and you have this demon thing that's just following you around. I was that afraid of being alone by myself because I'm like, the jinns are following me around. And I would go to sleep and I would have these overwhelming, tormenting experiences of like, I'm being tormented in a grave. And then we hear stories of, you know, people and girls, and we see things of people who get possessed, and we know that they're being beaten and trying to get the demons out of them. I was constantly afraid. Like, I couldn't even wake up and walk at night without thinking that the jinn is right around the corner. All of those things ultimately led me to, you know, in college, where I was like, there's something that's not working. Eventually I met my now husband, and, you know, we would have these deep conversations about God and like, why would God allow these things to happen? And I would tell him, I'm like, I don't go to sleep at night. Like, I sleep during the day. Like, at night, I took my classes at night. Like, my entire schedule was my classes start at 3-4 o'clock. During the day, I sleep. He would talk to me for hours on the phone, 4 or 5 hours. And, you know, we would talk about like God and the, you know, creation and God's intention in his heart. And he would tell me that God is this good God. And when I met him, I was like, I'm going to convert him to Islam. I'm going to tell him how great our religion is. I would be like, it just, you know, trying to deconstruct his worldview. But he was so firm in his foundation and so firm in what he knew to be the truth that like, I would say certain things and then he would ask me a question back, and I had no answers and I had no explanation. after we got married, I was like, okay, like, I can't live like this anymore. Like, this, the burden has become so heavy. I can't carry this burden. And I was looking stuff up and I was crying. I was sitting on the couch. I was crying. I know that there is a God. I know that God must love me, because what did I do for God to hate me so much? I was sitting on the couch and I was sobbing. I was just uncontrollably sobbing. And I think my husband said something that stuck with me that helped me. He said, why don't you read the Bible? And I'm like, no way, no way. That's like, I'm not an infidel. I'm not going to read the Bible. And he said, why not? It's just a book. Just read it. Like, what do you have to lose? I was like, you're right. I read books all the time. I'll just read a book. In my mind, that was the way that I thought of it. So I read it. I picked it up. And, you know, I was reading Genesis. And it was, it broke me, because I'm reading God created all things. And then he says, and then he created mankind in his own image. He created man and female in his image. And when I read that, I was so touched by those words. I just couldn't believe those were the words that I was reading. And as I'm reading the stories in the Bible, I see Jesus giving his disciples the power and the authority to cast out demons. That in the name of Jesus, I just could not believe it. All I wanted my whole life was to have an answer. How do I get these demons to stop following me around? How do I not live in fear? And God says that he does not give us the spirit of fear. This kind of love that was unconditional, that even when I was rejecting him all these years and saying, I don't believe you, I'm not going to read the Bible, I'm not going to call on the name of Jesus, I can't do this, I can't. But God died for me even as a sinner. And it's like, and I was like, wow. And so all of those things combined, I just couldn't. I'm like, Lord, come into my heart. But I knew, I'm like, I know I'm the only person. How can I go through this? And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit tells me, Google ex-Muslims. And I'm like, what? And I Google it. I Google ex-Muslims become Christian. And the first person I see is Nabil Qureshi. And wow. I could not believe it. I was sobbing. I was like, wow, I'm not the only person. And for the first time in my life, I was like, wow, I'm not alone. And so it gave me the bravery to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to do it 100%. So that's what I did. I said, okay, I accept you. One night, that night right before I accepted Christ, I'm like, tonight is going to be the night where I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, you are not welcome here. By the power and authority that was given by Christ, you are not welcome here. So I did, and I went to sleep, and I slept, and it was the most peaceful night of my entire life. And I woke up the next morning, and there was nothing in my bone that told me that that wasn't the truth. I see the hand of God everywhere. Like, everything that I do in my life, I see the hand of God. I found the truth is that there is power in Jesus' name. And that if you call on Jesus, that you're given the power and authority to cast out demons, and that God will hear your prayers, that Jesus is on our side, and that, you know, there is power in his name. My name is Shamso. I'm from Somalia, and this is how I found the truth.
I say wow. Wow, wow, and wow. I can't tell you how excited I am here to hear this young ex-Muslim girl give praise to God, give praise to Jesus for being delivered by these supernatural creatures, this demonic influences because of Islam that followed her around, that tormented her. And she was still, even after all of that, still going to stay a Muslim girl, and she was not going to read the Bible, but God invaded her life in a loving way. And he said to Shamso, look, I'm here to give you life and life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, Shamso. And so the rest of the story is history. I love this young Somalian ex-Muslim girl's testimony. This is what the power of Christ is all about, to not only save us, but deliver us, to make us whole, to free us from our torments and our pains. And it's just a wonderful testimony. I want to share with us a pivotal scripture and build upon what Shamso said. And it's a pivotal scripture around Christmas time, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Shamlo found Jesus as the Prince of Peace. But I want to focus in on the term, one of the names, Mighty God. It's a theme in the Bible around Christmas time, this verse. And it refers to Christ's leadership, Christ's kingship, having great power and authority in a military way, a hero, a valiant leader. Deuteronomy 10:17 amplifies this meaning, "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of hosts, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." What do we see the term Mighty God in the ministry of Christ? He brought great leadership. The Jews were looking for this heroic figure like King David to deliver them from Roman oppression through these valiant military conquests. But that's not what Jesus came to do the first time. He came as the suffering servant, and he showed what humility was. He came to earth, of course, as I've taught, to give up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. We will see this aspect of the Mighty God in his second coming, when he comes in all of his glory and power. But I also want to take an aspect of the title, the reference to Jesus, the Mighty God, in his ministry. He came in the power of the Spirit. He freed those who were under the oppression of the devil. He did mighty miracles. He was a mighty teacher. He showed God's healing power in delivering people from demonic oppression and from raising the dead. And it talks about Jesus healing those who were oppressed of the devil. He cast out demons and unclean spirits. He proved he is both divine and mighty. And that when we hear about what Shamso says about being delivered from the jinn and learning early on as a Christian the power and authority in Christ's name, we see that's who Jesus is, as the Mighty God. And the proof of that is his resurrection from the dead after being crucified and killed on a Roman cross. Jesus had the power to lay down his life, to take it up again. He submitted to the weakness and humiliation of death on the cross. But then God demonstrated his great power. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He is far above any rule or authority or anything else. And God has put all things, the Bible says, under the authority of Christ, and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. So as the Mighty God, Jesus rose from the dead, he now sits at God's right hand in heaven. He's high above every authority, power, and leader, but Jesus has given that power to us, his church, to conquer in his name, to cast out demons in his name, and to bring healing and hope to the hopeless. Now, at the end of the age, in his second coming, Jesus will come again to earth with great power and glory as the Mighty God. And then that's when we see this other aspect of Isaiah 9:6 completely fulfilled. He will judge all the people of the earth, Revelation chapter 18. He will sit on his eternal throne and reign in great power and authority. Every creature in heaven and on earth will bow down and worship him. Heaven will ring with the shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for he is slain, and he alone is worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise forever and ever." This is quoting from Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, where John has this vision of the Lamb, and it's such a beautiful vision. Now think about all of that. And think about this incredible testimony from Shamso, who is now a woman of God, a child of God, a daughter of the King. And she's sharing with us how the power of Christ in her life overcame the demonic oppression that she suffered when she would take her classes at night and sleep during the day because of this fear. But Jesus broke through and gave her hope and healing. And now I want to feature something very special. This is a beautiful song of praise from Jeremy Riddle. It's called Revelation chapter 1, and you'll think about it when you hear the song. The words are formed around the message of Revelation chapter 1. This is from his CD project, Live in the Prayer Room. It's a beautiful song of praise. Let's listen.
Tell me who always loves us. Who once and for all freed us. Whose blood has washed our sins away. And brought us into light of day. To him be the glory, to him be the power, to him be all majesty and all dominion forever. Oh, praise the ever-living one, the one who was and is to come, the firstborn from among. The power.
just an absolute awesome song of worship and majesty. Jeremy Riddle, live in the prayer room from Revelation chapter 1. This is a program today emphasizing the glory, the majesty, the power of Christ, the mighty God, as we think about this scripture again. For unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. We will see that during the millennial reign of Christ. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Know this, Jesus, that baby in the stable, was God manifested in the flesh, and he would grow in wisdom and power. And we will see in his ministry, as we study the Gospels, his great love, his great compassion, his great power over sickness and disease and death. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Make no mistake that as we gather together this Christmas and we worship the Christ child, we are worshiping our great God. And as you heard from Shamso, the fear and the torment she lived as an oppressed young Muslim girl from Somalia. Her husband was very, very kind and very, very patient. And he simply said, read the Bible to lose. And she read the message. What triggered it all? When she found out that God had created her in his special image, that men and women are created equal in his image, she found not a religion, but a relationship with a God who loved both men and women, because in Islam, women are so belittled and treated so second class. So the message of Jesus, the mighty God, is the message of Christmas. And I pray that, like Shamso, if you do not know Jesus, read his story. Read the Christmas message and be able to say with the three wise men, this is the Christ King. This is the promised Messiah. Going to be back on Monday with another special Christmas theme, Jesus, the Light of the World. I want you all to have a good and a safe weekend. Don't be too rushed and too in a hurry. Take your time, watch your back, and be safe. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and I will see you at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on Monday for another edition of The Cross in the Desert. God bless you.